Breaking news, folks. Drake and Scott and their notorious accomplices, Ziggy and Coach, are on the loose. Hide your kids and hide your wives. More at 11.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Icky Sticky Anti-Semite and all the ships at sea. It's Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com, episode 112 for December 15th, 2025. We're the best podcast you aren't listening to. We talk about anything and everything on this show, and if you aren't offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
I'm Brian Drake. He's Scott. Across the table, an empty seat because Ziggy's not here today.
That Harvard gig, man, it's wore him out.
Yeah. But to my right and across from Scott, we have Coach. How's it going, Coach?
What's up?
We are coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. Home base, radioslot.com. New episodes every Saturday night at 7. Replays throughout the week. You can also hear us on Spotify, and a full show archive is at briandrakebooks.com. Thank you for listening wherever you are. On today's show, we have a Wall Streeter who says the poverty line is now 140K. And he's not joking. Our greatest ally is calling a popular children's YouTube channel anti-Semitic. Teenagers in Australia have learned to beat their internet age restrictions, and we'll tell you how. And Gabbing Nuisance.
Yes.
He's getting emotional about the bad orange man.
Haircut.
So we'll talk about that.
Again.
Yeah, I was just when you were saying that in the opening. Icky sticky bubblegum. I can't wait for that one. I haven't read it yet.
it's a song. It's a children's song like Baby Shark. It's going to get stuck in your head
all day. I need that like I need another hole in my head.
I'm particularly susceptible to songs getting stuck in my head, so I'm a little nervous about this one.
That'll be terrible. I'll be at soccer practice tonight humming it.
Yeah, well, we always start with a...
Kids will be like, how do you know that song, Coach?
We always start with a crazy on the way, silly things that happened to us on the day of the show or prior to. Does anybody have anything?
Absolutely.
All right, go for it.
Go.
So I have a helper.
No, you have several, actually.
I have several helpers. So yesterday, I'm attending church. I'm sitting in the aisle in my chair, and I got this. I don't like stuff in my pockets, right? So I'll take my keys out, I'll take my phone out, I'll set it on the chair next to me. Well, my wife sees my keys on the chair. She picks it up, puts it in her purse. Now, we drove separately, and so the day ends, and I'm talking to people.
I know where this is going.
Thing, and I hung around for a while, and next thing you know, I walk down to my car, and I go to get in my car. It's like, where's my keys? I thought I left them back inside the church. So I hike back. I parked in the lower lot, right? So it was a hike, 100 yards. I walk back in. I'm looking around. I'm asking, hey, have you guys seen keys? I think they were on this chair, and everybody's looking at me like I'm a sorry old man.
These are two separate subjects, by the way. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm sitting around checking all these different places. I go in the restroom. I mean, all like, where could I set these down? Like, and I'm getting a place where I set stuff down and I forget it. You know, whatever.
We all get there.
And finally, I realize, wait a minute. She likes to grab my stuff and put it away and, you know, help me. So I call. I said, hey, honey, by the way, any chance you have the keys to the car with you? She's like, oh, I don't think so. Let me check. And, sure enough, there they are in her purse. Okay. All right. So I had to get a ride home from church, which is it's fine. So then today.
Wait a minute. How come she didn't come back and get you?
Because I found a ride.
Oh, okay.
Well, so I didn't want to inconvenience her. And then I would have had to wait longer. Like if I get a ride, it's half the time, right? So this morning, we're getting ready to go off to our days, and we decided to switch cars. She goes off to work.
I noticed your car is not in the parking lot.
I got all my stuff together. I get ready, and I'm walking out the door, and I'm like, wait, where's the keys to the other car? And same thing. I'm checking the key rack where we hang our keys, and I'm looking next to my bedstand. I'm in the kitchen and the counter. I'm on the living room table, the coffee table in the family room. I'm like going around asking my daughter, hey, have you seen the keys to the car? And I'm starting to think I'm losing it, right? It's like, I can't keep track of my own keys. What's wrong with me? She's like, did you call mom? It's like, oh. So I called her. I said, hey, any chance you have the keys to the other car? She's like, oh, no, I do. They're in my purse. I'm like, can I stop picking up my stuff and helping me. I no longer have a car anymore. I'm just going to start functioning without a car because.
Get a bicycle.
And yeah, I'm going to start hoping. I'm going to get my steps in. Yeah.
You'll save some money for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to get a ride here for my daughter and dropped off. So I'm stranded. Crazy.
Happy to give you a ride.
Crazy. The crazy part is I almost wasn't on my way.
Right. Okay.
It was like 39 degrees when I was getting ready to leave. And I don't know if I survive. If I walk in 39 degrees from my house to here, I don't know if I survive.
You'll be fine. You'd warm up pretty quick.
You sound like my wife. Anyway, so.
See, I told you, you have another helper
now. I know. So anyways, yeah.
All right, Coach, anything from you?
Stop touching my keys.
You know, not really, other than it's funny. We were just talking about the fact that we all live in California because of the weather. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, and we're in the dead of winter.
And it's freezing.
I am just over. I cannot imagine living in somewhere where it was actually cold.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's been, you know, as you know, we coach high school and, mm-hmm. and you're out there and it's, you know, it's 42 degrees. Mm-hmm. It's
I'm finished with it. It's only going to get colder here in the next couple of weeks. Actually,
And we're supposed to get rain too. So,
oh geez,
yeah, okay, that'll be great having cold rain.
That'll be great. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, my crazy is last night. My wife and I did our annual Christmas lights tour. We like to drive around and look at all the houses, and. Every year it's like, okay, we're going to try different neighborhoods this year. We're not going to go through the same ones that we usually go through, except we always end up going through the same neighborhoods we always go through because so much of the town is dark. There are just, you know, there are places that, you know, neighborhoods that don't do Christmas lights. So we try to find other ways to go. We end up back where we always end up because that's where the lights are.
The same people.
And,
yeah.
And it's like, well, you know,
it's a new phenomenon.
Wild animals always return to the same watering holes. It's called pattern, man.
I understand that, but we're trying to vary the pattern.
In the same bed every night?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're trying to vary the pattern so we can see different displays because...
Well, there's actually some websites you can go to that'll point you to those places.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
My oldest used to... It's like, oh, you go here. I mean, it literally says, go here, go there.
Oh, yeah, and Livermore's chock full.
Well, there's a new phenomenon. Are you aware of it?
No.
Have you seen it?
No.
Phenomena. Phenomena.
Have you seen the
bell curve? What are you doing?
No, the
coach is doing hand signals now on a radio show.
It's like a U thing that you on the sidewalk that you walk through with lights.
Oh, okay.
An arch?
Yeah. But it'll be like 10 of them in a row in front of your house.
I'm never playing Pictionary with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have seen those. I didn't realize that was a new phenomenon.
The hope something.
I see.
Yeah. It was like, oh, my kids are like, oh, yeah, the hope.
The Hope Arch. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
And that's a new thing.
Well, we might have to go out again and see if we can find some. I definitely want to look at that website because that would be a big help. Because we just start at random. It's like, oh, let's try over here. And we end up disappointed. And it's like, okay, let's go back where we always go. And it's,
yeah, you're like a cat.
Yeah.
And you like cats.
I do. But it's like, some of the displays don't change. They do the same thing every year. Some of them do. But others, it's like, oh, well, there's that house again. And it's like,
Yeah, ball humbug.
Well, I want to see different things. I want to see,
Well, the best thing you could do, though.
You go to the same restaurants?
No.
You could do your own house.
We did do our own house.
Do you do it up?
Yeah.
Like
I mean, no, it's not. It's not like some of the stuff we saw. But no, we put the lights up. Her uncle and I, we string things up. We put them in the bushes in the back. The backyard is the big one because we spend a lot of time there. And we do a nice display.
I actually put up lights this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I put lights on the house. First Ooh. Time in 5 years.
I just said Xmas lights, mm-hmm. Tri-Valley. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Right away. Popped up.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll do a second one this year just to...
Tri-Valley must-see holiday lights.
Yeah.
8 awesome Christmas light displays in the Tri-Valley.
There you go.
Yeah,
okay.
They're all over.
Love it.
Right on. Well, maybe we'll do a second one. I'll see if she's into that.
Best Christmas lights near Dublin. Yeah, it's like...
All right.
Yeah, it's legit.
Well, very good.
It's there.
Well, let's get to our first story here from the Washington Post. A fellow named Wall Streeter, Michael W. Green, did some math recently. For a family of four to afford housing, health care, child care, and other necessities, he calculated they would need at least $106,500 a year. The U.S. poverty line, the number that the Department of Health and Human Services says is necessary to keep a family out of poverty, is officially $32,000. $150 for a family of four. Green says it should be more than four times that, a figure that would mean the majority of American households are living in poverty by his metric.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I have questions.
Okay. We'll see if we can answer some of them. He published his essay in Substack, and it's made waves among economists and activists, some praising Green's approach to assessing the real cost of living, others finding his claim that a six-figure income could be considered poverty wages to be a ludicrous.
So let's start here.
Okay.
If you can't purchase a home, does that mean you're in poverty? Is that for everybody?
Sarah and I can't, but I mean, we're not living.
That's not what I said.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying we are not, you know, we do have a home and we are not living in poverty. You can tell, you know, I own two cars. I mean, we're doing okay.
It's not my point.
Okay.
In this country is home ownership for everybody. And if you're not in that group, are you in poverty?
No.
So I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, some people purposely
rent.
They rent because they can save money other ways.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's, you know, really necessarily part of the American dream, and that
I would almost make the argument that owning a home could put you into poverty.
Sure.
Right? Cuz there's that concept, house poor. You know, your mortgage, your property taxes, your maintenance, your utilities.
Homeowners associations. Yeah, don't get me started on all the stuff that adds up.
Next thing you know, you're eating top ramen every meal.
Right, which is what...
It's like I'm back in college.
Which is what Sarah and I would have to do, and we actually had a real estate agent tell us, oh, for the first couple of years, yeah, but then it'll be better. And it's like, no, honey, I think you're missing the point here. We're not doing that.
Yeah, how many years is a couple? How many years am I going to live in poverty?
So that's one thing,
mm-hmm.
right? So I don't, you know, I know people that rent that I would consider doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. The other thing is, who's this guy?
He is a Wall Street portfolio manager for a $500 million fund. Yeah, just some guy.
Some guy.
But he's made some waves, and I just found it curious. I found it curious because
So I got another question.
Okay.
Are we talking about California? Are we talking about Tennessee?
No, he's talking
about...
He's talking about the nation as a whole, which is why it kind of clashes.
That's the one thing about this country.
It's, right.
You can't look at anything in this country as the nation in a whole because it's so different.
That's right. Well, that's why the Health and Human Services says the minimum is $32,000. The median household income for the country last year, I should say, was $83,000 for families.
$83,000.
Yeah, yeah. So
I know,
like,
people who own cars that are more expensive than that.
Right. And for families with two or more children, the median income was $109,000. We're up on a break. Coming up, we're going to put an earworm in your head that is going to stay with you all day.
Oh, no.
And make some other points about it besides. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com.
Everybody, turn the volume down.
No, quick, turn, quick, it, quick. Turn it. Turn it up. Turn it up.
This is going to hurt a little bit.
It's going to hurt a little bit.
Well, our greatest ally is calling a popular children's YouTube channel anti-Semitic. Let's take a listen and see how bad it is and see if you agree.
Who's the one that's calling it?
Oh, no.
I say our greatest ally. It's a Jewish group that is not necessarily related to the Israeli government, but I'm just being a jerk. So let's see. This is Miss Rachel on YouTube. She's very, very popular with kids. And the only reason I know of her is because my father and I guess it's the great grandkids now that are like 4 years old. One's four. The other is like 8 months. And they love Miss Rachel, so she's personally, I think she kills brain cells. But let's hear what our newest anti-Semite has to say about certain things.
Oh no! The bubble popped, and the sticky bubble gum is all over our hands.
I'm going to turn the computer around so you guys can see it. But
icky, sticky, 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 is this it? Gum,
yes.
Bubble gum, bubble gum. Icky, sticky,
you're not
sticky,
dancing.
Sticky, bubble gum.
Now watch this.
And you pull them, and you pull them, and you pull them away.
The suspense is killing me, because what if her hands stick for good, you know?
She doesn't actually have bubble gum in her hands, or her hair.
No, she's playing, it's called pretend.
Your elbows. And you pull them, and you pull them, and you pull them away. Icky, sticky, sticky, sticky bubble gum.
Can we stop? I can't get any of this time back.
My goodness.
I just burned like half a minute that I'll never recover.
Yeah, you'll be singing it all day. But let's...
No, that was...
That is our latest anti-Semite. So let's... she's anti-Semite of the year. We're going to get to that. Miss Rachel, a social media sensation who creates content for toddlers, was named a top 10 finalist for Stop Antisemitism's Anti-Semite of the Year Award. Legally known as Rachel Accurso, Miss Rachel has become a staunch advocate for Palestinian children amid the Gaza War since the start of the conflict on October 7th, 2023. An estimated 20,000 children have been killed, according to Save the Children, prior to the ceasefire agreement reached in October. Surviving kids have been subjected to famine and injuries caused by military strikes. Ms. Rachel has spoken out against the suffering of Palestinian kids. However, Stop Antisemitism has challenged some of Ms. Rachel's posts, some of which include debunked images of Palestinian children and inflated numbers. They say since 10/7, Ms. Rachel has pushed Hamas propaganda to millions, sharing debunked images, inflated casualty claims, and almost entirely ignoring Israeli child victims.
When I complained about the video, you said something that clarifies this whole thing.
Which was what?
You said it's make-believe. Or
The bubblegum is make-believe, song, yes.
Yeah, so she's good at make-believing stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's a make-believer.
Okay.
So why take any of this seriously?
Well, in her defense, what did she say?
Don't
she
take said, anything seriously that has too much pink in the video.
She says that advocating for children's well-being, no matter where they're at, is not anti-Semitic. She's maintained that her advocacy focuses on suffering children in Gaza, particularly emphasizing famine and injuries caused by military strikes. Wanting children to live, she says.
Is she advocating for Russian kids, Ukrainian kids, Venezuelan kids?
Now here's where we get into the defense of the group involved here. Now she does seem to be a little selective as to what kids she's going to talk about, at least from the evidence I've found. Neither side is pointing out that, hey, I also talk about this or she also talks about that. She just kind of has this blanket statement that wanting children to live is not anti-Semitism. The group actually drew sharp criticism, not just for this, but for omitting other more far right figures that might more comfortably fit the anti-Semite label.
Well, has she advocated for Jewish kids who lost their parents, lost their lives?
I said that she has, or they said that she has not advocated for. Where does it say it?
She says almost kids with gum in their hair.
Right. She almost entirely has ignored Israeli child victims. And
well, has she?
That's what they say. Yes.
But see, this is my point. That whole thing is such a complex situation. Yeah, of course. In war, innocent people die. That's all there is to it. And
what?
And especially in those kind of wars, right? In Israel and I mean, you know, and again, and you could make a an argument that Hamas and some of these other, they actually target those areas. I don't think Israel does.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was spoken about earlier on in the war that, you know, Hamas would occupy areas where there were, you know, hospitals, schools, et cetera, mm-hmm. their headquarters, in order to protect themselves. You know, it's just much
in order to perpetuate their side of the war.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's way too complicated.
Yeah.
But we should lament any children being killed by bombs and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. bad. No matter who they are.
Right.
Period.
Bombs bad.
Bombs bad.
And just to back up the group's claim a little bit more, she has hosted Mataz Azeza, who's apparently a terrorist sympathizer who celebrated the 10/7 massacre. There's a picture of her here with him in a tweet. So, I don't know. Maybe they have a point.
They might.
I don't know.
They might. But I mean,
she might also just be a leftist scum. And, you know, because one thing about her show, and of course, I had to go down the rabbit hole here, is that she has to have a gay guy on it so that the little kids can be exposed to the Rainbow Warrior. And, you know, so that there's no blatant thing where this fellow is saying, hey, kids, it's I'm gay and it's nice to be gay. Nothing like that. But it's definitely there. And I told that my dad, it's like, you know, watch it, because she's trying to sneak stuff in. And
well, I don't know. Are you sure it's trying, though? I think it's just, you know.
But these people, you never know.
You go walk around a school and the stuff that some of it is posting. I mean, back in the day, you didn't do that with other people's children.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't allowed to. Certainly the public school system was not allowed to propagate.
Oh, there's still so many rules of what you can and cannot do on a public school campus.
Oh, but I'm talking about the cans.
Yeah, well.
The you know, I can put pride flags and.
It's, they're not anti-selective.
BLM.
They might be anti-Semitic, but they're not anti-selective. They like to select what we can and cannot do. And it's,
you know.
But I mean, are we getting our policy from a children's video author?
How many views does that have?
1 million?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's my point.
I mean, right? Geez.
So if you have a platform like that.
I like this song.
Geez. I'm really worried about Drake.
he's having way too much fun.
He's laughing so hard he can't breathe. How many people can we pull away from her video?
I don't know, but this is
a million views.
This has been such a popular song. There's a metal version that someone did.
Are you kidding?
And I did not. I did not save it, unfortunately. But there is.
You know what I saw?
But there's.
You know what I saw? And this is a blatant attempt to change the subject.
Okay.
I saw Post Malone. He did a tribute to Nirvana.
Uh huh.
It was amazing. I couldn't believe this guy's talent. Like, he can do hip hop. He can do whatever style of Nirvana is. He's into country. He's doing whatever. But he had, and it.
Was, oh, he's been all over.
Yeah,
the
but
place.
It was back from
and
COVID.
Actually doing it pretty well, by the way.
Oh no, amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he did several songs that I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. It was back during COVID when they were all in
legit.
Separate rooms
an actor,
and they had different videos. Yeah,
yeah.
He's in the opening scene of the new remake of Roadhouse.
Oh.
It's not that
yes,
new.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal
yeah, yeah, yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at the beginning, I was like, I recognize him, but who is that? And I'm trying to figure out who it was.
He lost a ton of weight.
Well, not for that part.
I don't.
He was a big boy in that part, but yeah, I'm looking at the credits like Post Malone. I was like, well, that was Post Malone. I had to go back and watch it again.
Hmm.
Unbelievable.
There's a Matt Damon movie where he's in prison just getting out.
Oh, yeah.
And
Post Malone stabs him. They have a fight in the mess hall.
Gotcha. And he looks down, there's a shiv in him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Back after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Australian teenagers skirt world's first social media ban. This is from The Telegraph. In the immediate aftermath of Australia's groundbreaking social media ban for anyone under 16, which took effect this month on the 10th, this law, championed by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, teenagers are quickly bypassing age verification systems and publicly mocking the government on the very platforms they're supposedly barred from. Teens describe several simple tricks to fool the AI-based age checks. They're frowning at the camera, pouting, using filters, applying makeup to add wrinkles, using Halloween masks, or using stock images, VPNs, parents' accounts.
So this is a face recognition thing that says, you're too young?
Yeah. So they have to look into their webcam, and the AI thing scans their face and says,
you're too young.
Yeah. So they're tricking the AI.
And, wow.
That doesn't seem too difficult.
Here's some specific examples. 15-year-old Noah Jones from Sydney regained access to Instagram using his brother's ID and passed Snapchat's verification by frowning. Apparently, frowning makes you look older.
Everything makes me look older.
Yeah. 14-year-old Zarla McDonald was mistaken for 20 by the TikTok Snapchat AI, and many teens are now online or now are uploading videos to YouTube showing other kids how to beat these things.
But, you know, it's funny. I was at my granddaughter's sweet 16 birthday party that my daughter had for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite an affair. And, you know, I have all for years and years, the whole social media, we can't go backwards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the problem.
Right.
It's, you know, there's just too much. And for 16-year-olds, this was way more.
Well, if we're concerned about the content, why are we going after the users? How about we go after
the content? Yeah.
Go after the content.
But like I said, I don't think there's any reverse in it.
Well,
that's the problem.
You could get a computer to regulate websites now and take them off. Mm-hmm. The same way that you use them to do facial recognition on the people who are trying to subscribe.
Well, you would have to ban, you know, all those sites.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. So no more porn sites, no more like obnoxious war scenes or like when they hurt people and they video it.
Yeah. The live leak.
Violence, yeah. Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. We could get rid of all that kind of stuff, which I'm totally for, except for as soon as we start taking freedoms away, we're going to have people.
Revolt. No, but I'm talking about parents here.
Well, I mean, where's dad?
Yeah,
it's
like default if to I that was one. Raising kids right now, they'd have flip phones, period.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Until
probably 16.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be on TikTok. They wouldn't be on Instagram. Again, I'm looking at, you know, I have a 16-year-old granddaughter and she is, you know, I'm looking, I'll show you some of the pictures later. It's just way older than she needs to look. In way more of a way than it's important at 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The focus is, by the way, it's the world. And if the world is giving you your, this is how it needs to be, well, you're in trouble.
Well, I'm, our country was founded on, you know, wanting freedom, religious freedom and all these kind of things. When the government starts restricting you and making rules for you and telling you what you can and cannot do, you're going to have trouble. So for parenting, for sure.
Yeah.
Teach and kids these, morals and ethics and, you know, professionalism, work ethic, those kind of things. But when a government starts making a bunch of rules and banning stuff, it's like, come on.
Again, I'm not what's suggesting the government do it. But
tell me I can't cut down a tree on my property.
Even, again, I'm not suggesting that for a second. It's not the government's job. It's not. I don't think it is. I think it's parents' job. But
I'm with
as
you.
As a parent, when it is this avalanche of just garbage that is just
mm-hmm.
inundated in everything and TV and it's crazy. And it's a big job. And again, I think you would have to completely ban it. No smartphone, you know.
And these kids are learning to become little anti-government rebels. What they're doing,
indoctrination,
right? But what the Australian PM has said is that kids should spend less time trying to break these age restriction systems and instead read a book or learn an instrument. They have responded by hashtagging on Twitter, Albanese F off. And so as the government tries to restrict these kids, we're creating a whole bunch of new right-wing zealots. Well, but, and I think that's kind of cool.
But again, at the end of the day, it's not working.
Yeah.
So they've asked them to spend their time learning something. Well, they did. They learned how to hack computers.
That's right.
Beat websites. Yeah. I mean, if you hadn't made the rule, it wouldn't be so popular. And anytime you ban something, it becomes more popular. You're just giving it free press.
Yeah. Anytime you say no, it's like, oh.
No. Yeah. Oh, watch me. Watch
so it. This, so this affects about 1.4 million children. The platforms like TikTok, Instagram, et cetera, they face a £25 million fine if they don't comply with this age restriction stuff. And
who do?
The companies, the social media platforms. So if they are caught not installing these systems, then they will be fined. It does not say if they're going to face any penalties for the kids being able to get by them so easily.
So I wonder how much, I mean, and it's real. There is a number. You'll never get to it, but there's a number. I wonder what they've spent on this, this project, and that doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't have a cost there, but yeah. Others say that it was rushed and weak and inconsistent. Researchers, before it was implemented, did demonstrate its vulnerabilities using old man masks. So like Halloween masks, sure. Of older, yeah.
But my point is, how much did the government spend of other people's money
right.
to implement this?
Exactly.
That was never going to work.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Much like our homeless thing here in California.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to spend all this money. It's not
going to solve anything.
It's not going to solve anything.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's hilarious that kids are able to
better use some of that money.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, keep it in the people's pockets.
Hey, if you want kids to learn instruments, how about you fund music programs?
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Like, let's pay music teachers more. Let's make instruments cheaper. Let's subsidize music books and let's promote some websites that teach you how to play the piano online.
We you know, it was many episodes ago we talked about this thing, and a Dutch friend of mine was over here. I remember the context. I was sitting out in front of my house. It's one of the IX coaches, and we were having coffee in front of my house, and we were watching, you probably remember this, we were watching a garbage truck. And if you really look at the whole automatic arm that...
Oh, it's very impressive, yeah.
It's technologically a miracle.
Right? Oh, yeah. No, it's brilliant.
And his point was, just because you can do a thing doesn't necessarily mean you should. Because mm-hmm. his whole thing was, because they don't do that in Holland, or they didn't at the time. And he was like, how many guys got put out of a job doing
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we know our garbage men. We know our mailmen. We, you know, all that stuff. And that was, you know, I thought it was really interesting. Just because you can do a thing, should you? And just this whole technological explosion that we've had, you know, is it good?
Yeah, right.
And it seems like every day, every year, every week that goes by, I think, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens there over the next couple months. Maybe we'll have some exasperated Australian prime minister saying, okay, it didn't work. let's just
so we're gonna take a bunch of money.
Sorry that we took all your money and threw it away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, now give me some more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know how they solve this.
Okay. What do you got there?
Well, so this is me trying to pull up the website for this article.
Right? Yeah, it's under a paywall. Yeah,
yeah. So all these things, put them under a payable,
and then
have the payable go to the government. Then they'll have more money, and they'll know who's on the different websites. Yeah. It's super simple.
Yeah, I had to put the website into Grok AI and get a summary of the article because I wasn't going to pay for it.
Yep. So you figured a way around
it. I figured a way around the paywall. The paywall, yeah. So
it's just
I know.
The smarter we get, the dumber we get.
Uh-huh.
It's just, it's crazy.
Well, speaking of dumb, we got Gavin Newsom in the news here.
Haircut!
There's a video clip of the governor making an emotional plea about Donald Trump's presidency. He shared it on X Friday, and he didn't hold back. He's warning, we can't keep this up, in light of some of Trump's recent slurs toward reporters and fellow politicians. He explained that three more years of Trump as president felt inconceivable. And he says, whoever the next president is, we can't keep this up. Polarized, traumatized, exhausted. I can't conceive of three more years. And what he's referring to is Trump's recent public dig at a female journalist, where he resorted to demanding that she be quiet, saying, quiet, piggy, during a press conference on Air Force One. Trump also insulted the journalist, Catherine Lucy from Bloomberg, after she questioned why Mr. Trump was fighting against releasing the Epstein files. Additionally, on Thanksgiving, the president launched into a late night tirade and proceeded to call Democrat Tim Walz a retard.
And he has no filter.
I know. His line is, the seriously retarded governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, does nothing, either through fear, incompetence, or both.
I'm sorry, but.
And Gavin's a little upset that this is happening.
I'm sorry, but have you listened to that guy very much?
Walz?
Yeah.
Yeah. He really isn't very bright.
Try not to.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
Well,
he's not wrong. I'm sorry.
I think that
he's not wrong.
Gavin Newsom's biggest complaint, what he's most upset about, is that Trump will be out of office when he goes to run next time. And it's the only argument the Dems use anymore for who should be president.
Right.
It's like, well, at least
but he won't be running. So it's
he's lost his
useless
major marketing campaign.
It's useless.
Yeah. He won't be able to use it.
Well, Vance will run so he can say, well, you want four more years of that.
But
everybody knows.
Yeah.
Vance is not.
He has a filter. He would say none of those things.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's just, they're totally different people.
We have all said, well, certainly I have said, you know what? I love what he's doing. Don't like his mouth. Don't like the fact that he's not very presidential. Don't like the fact that he doesn't have a filter, but I certainly like what he's doing compared to what we've had.
Well, you like some of the policy that he's doing.
I don't like the way he's doing it.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about somebody's weight and calling him
names. That's all. It's just dumb.
It's childish.
It is. And he's
maybe he should watch some of those bubblegum videos.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny. I said, you know, before, especially when I was going to Europe a lot, I don't know what that was. That was weird.
That was weird.
You know, when he was first running, they were just cracking up about it. Are you going to vote for the TV dude?
Yeah.
No, seriously. They were like, hey, who are you going to vote for? And it's like, it's tough because he's not somebody that, you know, presidentially you're really proud of him representing us. At least I'm not. But I'm certainly proud of what he's been doing. Again, I just wish he had a little bit more of a filter. Although, conversely, on the flip side of that, that's why I like him, because he's not a politician. He's not really worried about that stuff.
Well, the problem I have with the left side is they'll do things that make no sense. And when I try to ask somebody that explain this to me to where it makes sense, like who's going to pay for this, or how is this actually going to work? There's almost never like a concrete answer. On the right side, they'll do things that make some sense sometimes. And that works for me. Most of like, okay, that makes sense. Do something that makes sense. When the other side never seems to do something that makes sense, or it's not sustainable, or we can't afford it, or unrealistic, it's like, how do I vote for that? You know, yeah. And as a country, we have a history now of we voted in Reagan. We voted in Schwarzenegger. We vote in TV, Clint Eastwood. We vote in all these popular people because they'll do something that maybe.
I was a Reagan guy.
No, that's my point, Reagan. Is let's find somebody who's not a politician, because I want somebody to do something that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I want problems actually solved. And Trump has solved some things, but then he creates as many problems with the things he says and how he goes about it.
Our usual wrap coming up. Women behaving badly, Coach's Corner.
If I have to make bubblegum videos or be president. I found one. One scenario. I'd rather be president than make those kind of videos.
Okay. We'll be back after this. Craig and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Are you guys familiar with this new thing called Shop with a Cop?
I have heard of it. Okay. Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Shop with a Cop is a holiday program pairing children from underserved or financially struggling families with law enforcement officers for a shopping experience designed to foster positive relationships and bring holiday joy. Now, this brings us to women behaving badly this week.
It sounds like a really good program.
It sure, why not? And it's going to get interesting here.
They have it in our town.
Oh, yes, I'm aware. That's where I first heard of it. So when I saw this story, I jumped on it. On December 6th in Hartford, Wisconsin, 24-year-old Sophia Malik from Milwaukee walked into a Walmart to steal stuff just days after a prior shoplifting incident there that she was responsible for, allegedly. Unbeknownst to her, the store was hosting a Shop with a Cop holiday event. About 15 local police officers were shopping alongside children for Christmas gifts. Officers spotted Sophia and her suspicious behavior and arrested her on the spot without disturbing the event. Sophia Malik of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you are this week's winner of the Women Behaving Badly Award.
Yes.
Love it.
Love it.
So, no Ziggy's riffs today because he's not here. Scott, what is your post game today?
I think I'm about like keep track of your own stuff. If you try to keep track of other people's stuff, it's not going to go well. Yeah. I think of my wife trying to keep track of my keys. 2 days in a row, I'm carless because of it. But then we got politicians who are trying to keep track of other people's stuff, and you know, Gavin Newsom, the Australia and
actually,
website.
I think it's kind of everybody.
Yeah.
All the social media stuff is
let's manage organizations and content rather than people. Let's promote freedom. Let me handle my own keys, make decisions about my own trees
and children
and my own car. Yeah. And be a dad for crying out loud. Be a dad. There you go. Take responsibility. It's Scott's third T. Take responsibility.
For your own stuff.
Post game report brought to you by.
I like it. I like it.
What is Coach's Corner today?
I think I'm going to recycle this one. I think I've used it before. This is from John Wooden. A good coach can change a game. A great coach can change a life.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that may be the first time I've heard that one from you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good one. I like that one.
Love Wooden.
Yeah. Nice job, Coach.
Yeah.
You just changed my life.
There you go.
Well, let's do for an exit theme today, let's do version 2 of Icky Sticky Bubblegum.
No, let's
y'all
not
begin. Say we did. Each other.
My ears are bleeding. Can I get some of that gum in my ears?
Yeah.
Want to stick it in my ears.
Oh, hang on. Oh, good. I was afraid she wouldn't be able to do it. We'll see you next week. Full show archive at BrianDrakeBooks.com. It's time for Mary to throw her hat in the air.